Hello and welcome to Yudcast, episode 53. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you, once again recording live in the Sound Lab here at the Brandeis School of San Francisco. Nice to have you with us on this foggy, chilly January Thursday. We are going to start this week, as we start every week, with a poem, though this is actually not a poem, but a soliloquy of sorts, one of the most famous in literature, from Macbeth by a fellow named William Shakespeare, who you may have heard from. I was thinking about notions of growth, and that's what I wanted to share about a little bit in this week's Yudcast, but partially inspired by seeing the middle school musical Annie Jr. and, of course, the rollicking tune and probably the most famous of several very famous show tunes from Annie, Tomorrow. Thinking about notions of the future and how we think about the future. And so, of course, thought of Macbeth's famous soliloquy. And it goes like this. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So dark. Such a beautiful... beautiful little piece of language there. Any time, I used to teach Macbeth back in my days as a middle school language arts and history teacher, and always loved the way that my students would dig into the characters. We used to watch the Patrick Stewart version of Macbeth. I think it was a BBC production of Macbeth that sort of has this kind of Cold War overtone to the entire thing. But so much beautiful language in that play. So, here we are thinking about tomorrows, and obviously Macbeth's version of these tomorrows that spool out into the future is one that is totally absent anticipation and absent hope. It's a kind of joyless monotony that he imagines. And so I wanted to talk about is something that's a little bit different. And before I get into the sort of thinking on the futures, to some extent, this week I was struck, as I often am as a parent, there are just these moments when I feel as though I'm watching my kids age or grow up in real time, when the daisy of an interaction goes all stop motion on me and the clouds of time are whisked through an impossibly fast sky. Such moments often prompt in me a kind of preemptive nostalgia, where I find myself sifting through memories of my children in their younger iterations as I sit there and watch them. Sitting at the musical last night, which was absolutely a blast, it was just full packed house, sold out and then some. There were people waiting there at the Jewish Community High School, just hoping there would be some cancellations and they'd be able to squeeze into the theater. I was sitting in the second row, hottest ticket in town. I was lucky to get one with my daughters, get three seats. And at one point, Alma, my younger child leaned over to me and asked whether her middle school buddy, Alma's in kindergarten, you will recall, whether her middle school buddy would be on stage, and she wasn't. But she was really keen on seeing older kids that she knew in these in this position of great authority. And then later in the evening when we were walking out, I was walking out behind a group of third grade girls, and they were talking about their plans to join the drama program at some point. There's a notion in the camping world that was brought to my attention just this year of what's called an aspirational arc. So the idea that younger kids see older kids in leadership positions, in getting to do special things, you know, whether it's, you know, getting to take a particular overnight trip, or getting, you know, to swim out to that rock in the middle of the lake. And the kids aspire to be in those roles at some point. And watching the shining eyes of the little ones around me as they saw these very big kids standing tall, bravely belting out these familiar show tunes to a packed house, you could see their minds and hearts filling with that kind of aspiration and anticipation of when it would be also their turn. Thinking about that idea of how our children grow and how they imagine themselves growing, and I will say before I shift here that this is something that we see in a lot of places in the school, so not just in where our younger kids buddy up with older kids, but also in the way that the eighth graders come and talk to the younger grades about their trip to Israel, both what they're planning to do, and then they come back afterward and tell them about what they actually saw and engaged with. It gives kids that sense of imagining their opportunity, their moment to go on such a big trip and have such adventures. In thinking about how our children grow and also how they imagine that growth for themselves, I was also thinking about how a school grows. This week, I've had a number of opportunities to see examples of growth in classrooms. On Monday, I stopped into an eighth grade science class and saw these eighth grade scientists exploring the physics of roller coasters using marble boards and foam tubes and duct tape and all these materials that their teacher picked up as part of the Ethical Creativity Institute this past year, where she was part of the cohort, and they learned not just design thinking and its intersection with Jewish ethics, but also the methods and materials of maker education and our create and build spaces. Another example was fourth grade programmers working with robots that their teacher had acquired through the Brandeis Innovation Grants program, which offers small grants to individuals or teams of teachers for new materials or experiences for kids, a program funded by a family in the community, thank you, Susan and Paul, that is now in its fourth year. These two avenues for growth, professional development as well as funding to explore new approaches to teaching and learning, are hugely important, and they're just two among many here at Brandeis, but both open aspirational arcs for our teachers toward new ideas, new modes of engagement, and new opportunities to collaborate and grow their practice. So this year, this was just the second year that we've run a full-blown musical at Brandeis, and it was really exciting to see the growth of that program year over year, as well as what an amazing job Crystal Brown as our middle school drama teacher and arts outreach coordinator, and Kim Lostetter, our music teacher and choral director, what each of them have done with the program. In addition to, as I already said, being the hottest ticket in town, and, you know, we may seriously have to look at a three-night run next year, because there were quite a few people who had hoped to see the show that weren't able to get in its two-night run this year. But really what I was excited to see was the growth of the students involved. I mean, across the board, you just saw such happiness and excitement and joy on the faces of these kids as they were up there singing and performing and dancing. And it was neat to see, you know, last year's chorus member who had a solo this year, or, you know, one of last year's featured players who is now in a leading role. There's really a lot to appreciate about drama as a content area for our students. We've been discussing, for example, the role of the theater arts in our thinking about radical empathy and democracy, just to give one example, the ways that the theater gives people opportunities to walk a mile in another person's shoes. But last night, really, what I found myself most grateful for was this growth, the growth of the program, you know, in going from sort of just trying it out to this sold-out run, in the players themselves as they strutted and sang their way across a very happy stage, and in the aspirations of the little ones that I saw around me in the audience. So a very fun night, and get your tickets early next year, because no doubt the musical will be even more exceptional. With that, though, I wish you all weekends full of hopeful tomorrows, my friends. Shabbat shalom to any of you listening on Shabbat. We will be back with you next week.